Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I was just telling Chris and Dave that I heard some news report on the radio about how celebrities are now wearing masks for the coronavirus, or to prevent the coronavirus, should it be floating around in the air somewhere. They are now wearing masks, many of them, but they cannot wear the same masks that you and I wear, of course. They have to wear masks that cost more than $100, because that mask somehow would be of such incredible quality that it would prevent them from getting said virus, whereas the rest of us peons just have to wear the masks that you buy at a drugstore or at Walmart. Good luck to ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. $100? That is, I hope that there isn't even one celebrity who ends up with the coronavirus after wearing that $100 mask. That might spell some doom for that particular company that was bilking people for all they're worth with a $100 mask. Maybe I should be a little more panicky about it. I'm not. I mean, I'm not going to wear a mask. I am actually traveling on Thursday, but I will not be wearing a mask on my airplane. I don't think I'll hold my breath either. Sometimes, though, air travel can be frustrating. I don't know that I'll sleep either. But I guess if I do, and the coronavirus comes wafting in, I'm SOL. I won't have my $100 mask or even my paper mask. Can you do me a favor, Chris? Can you do a quick Google search on how much masks cost? The face mask? So the type that you might see at a hospital, or the type that, you know, poor radio peeps might wear. On Amazon, probably. These are the things that I think about during the daytime. Well, when I am not sleeping, producer Chris just said in my earpiece, $3 to $100. So you can buy a coronavirus mask, or a mask to help you prevent breathing in the raunchy air that might give you the coronavirus, for $3, or you can spend $100. Now, here's my question. Does the $100 mask come with any kind of guarantee? Because that would be the only way that I would wear it. That's a lot of money for a piece of paper. Wowzers. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Again, I'm traveling on Thursday. In fact, I have to catch a flight in, we'll call it 9-ish hours. And I've decided to go sans mask. Actually, truth be told, I never even thought about wearing a mask. I very often will see other people traveling with face masks, but I've never done it. I don't think I've ever gotten sick from an airplane either. I suppose there's always the first time. Maybe I should be more concerned. Maybe in the next 9.5 hours, I will become more concerned. I don't know. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. So get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. If you have a $100 face mask and would like to send us a photo, we'd be happy to retweet it and show everyone how you're going to prevent coronavirus from infiltrating your body with this mask. Like I said, I should be a little more serious about it, maybe. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, if you have a $100 mask, Gwyneth Paltrow. Or if you would like to find us on Facebook, you can do that too. I really enjoyed reading all of your tweets and your posts about the TV shows and movies that you've never seen that you don't actually reveal in public because, you know, people might look at you funny or think less of you. I finally tweeted my list. So we had put up a post on our show Twitter and our Facebook page. And I finally tweeted my own list, which, as I mentioned last night, The Godfather, Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones. I did add The Office because that was another one that I've never seen. And I know Chris is mad at me for that. This is why I didn't say it out loud on the show last night. But I actually got a few texts. So not tweets or Facebook messages, but texts from people that know me personally. You've never seen The Godfather? See what I mean? It's almost like it's too late now. What's the point of going back and watching it now? I feel like it's I've missed my window, right? I don't know. The Office I could binge watch anytime I wanted. But there's no way I'm going back and watching Breaking Bad or Game of Thrones. I've got too many other binge watch programs on my list, actually. So, and I told you I don't want to watch a show about a teacher making meth. Anyway, I really appreciated your lists and your TV and movies. They actually made me smile, a bunch of them, as I went through our Facebook page and our Twitter. And I'm glad that you liked the conversation with Billy Ripken. Me too. Sarcasm is my love language, and he used it. He was very witty. Anyway, so all that stuff is part of our podcast. If you wanted to go back and check it out, you can find our podcast updated every weekday morning after hours, amylawrence.com. We have another question of the night for this edition of the show, though it's more sporty. We can't do movies two nights in a row. I mean, I suppose we could, but we're not going to, unless you come up with some amazing question that we just can't overlook. But tonight we'll do a sporty question. After we get to some of the news, it's not going to be as easy as what the NFL may think. What is the sense in Indianapolis about whether or not the CBA will pass? That's a good question. We will ask our NFL insider when he joins us from Indy in 30 minutes. But if you're judging by the responses that we saw on social media and the reports on Wednesday, this could be more of a fight than what the NFL would prefer. Now, remember, it was only after a four-hour meeting of members of the NFL Players Association, the team reps, and then the NFL's executive council, blah, 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 whatever. It was a mix of owners and players who spent hours on Tuesday going around and around. And apparently, players thought that there was more negotiating room. And we're kind of ticked to find out there wasn't negotiating room. And so, the vote that the Players Association team reps took was actually relatively split. Okay, so it wasn't a slam dunk. It was a tight vote, and it barely passed. And now you've got players on both sides of it coming out and speaking their feelings about the proposed CBA. All right, so it barely passed from the team reps to then get to the full membership. It almost didn't happen. And now when the membership gets a hold of it, by the way, I did find out it could take weeks. There's no actual timetable set. It could take weeks. And so there are certainly stipulations in their bylaws and the union's laws about how much time they have to give the players to respond. Again, that's the same it is in my union, probably is for you guys too. When you're voting on something, you have to give proper notice and you have to give enough response time for all these, in this case, 2,000 plus players to get back to you. All right, so we don't yet know how all of the players feel, but we did have some pretty high profile football players come out on Wednesday and say, no, Russell Wilson, we should not rush the next 10 years for today's satisfaction. I vote no. And he says, players come first. NFL players deserve the same as the NBA and Major League Baseball. Alshon Jeffrey kind of echoed that by quoting his tweet. You had Aaron Rodgers explain why he voted against even passing it on to the union membership.
I love Aaron Rodgers.
I don't actually know what Tom Brady thinks. But Aaron Rodgers put up a big social media post explaining why he was among the 14 who said, no, we shouldn't vote on this. All right, so the vote was 17-14-1. I'm not sure who abstained. But of the 32 team reps, so one player from each team, one person took himself out of the equation, and otherwise it was 17-14. So see what I mean about it being really tight? And Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers of the Packers, he was elected their team rep. He voted against passing this on to the union. And he said the reason he voted no and voted against it is based on conversations in his locker room and with other players. Some of his guys were even thanking him after he explained his reasoning. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So a little bit of what Rodgers posted on Twitter. This deal will affect every player that ever plays this game, and we've made this decision with only an abbreviated version of the deal, and that isn't good enough. Although I do see there are many things in the proposal that improve the lives and care for past, present, and future NFL players, there are issues with others. 16 games to me was never something to be negotiated. The owners made it clear that the 17th game is about paying for the added benefits and had nothing to do with the positive feedback received about any risks involved with the added regular season game. And so, according to Rodgers, what the NFL was selling the union wasn't accurate. He says, with an extra game added to the schedule, added risk, and longer stretches before and after the bye week, we felt it was important to address adding more off-season recovery time. The ideas discussed would not add costs for teams. In fact, if anything, would lessen some of them. He says there are issues raised about the workplace, the workload, and the off-season program. Some have been addressed, others have not. So he is saying we brought our concerns to the NFL. We asked them to consider them. Some were considered, some were not. Kind of like what Russell Wilson is saying. It's a rush job. And as I mentioned, there were reports that the players felt like they were kind of duped, that they thought the NFL was still willing to negotiate, but the owners have closed the book. They've already agreed to a proposal, take it or leave it. And we'll find out whether or not the majority of players are willing to take it, even though some have major concerns about it. This could be a really tight vote, but they only need 50.5%. They just need to get that simple majority. Again, some players thought that there would be more negotiating, more conversations, maybe more compromises, more concessions by the NFL. But when it came to the off-season program, So how much time off the players get, the length of the preseason, the number of days they practice in pads and have contact, all of that was off the table. And it's certainly difficult if you're one of the players who are a member of the rank and file. We talked to Russ Tucker last week. And Ross said to us, hey, it's easy if you're J.J. Watt to say hell no for the CBA. But he makes millions. Most players don't. $150,000 extra is a lot of money to them. Richard Sherman has also said he will vote no. So you've got some really high-profile players saying they will vote against this. Sherman's reasoning is for the health and wellness of the players. He says he stood up for his locker room as well. So according to Aaron Rodgers and Richard Sherman, they're opposed to the CBA because of the players back home. So if that's the case, you would think this is going to either be a really tight vote or it's not going to pass. So I'm intrigued by it. Again, we're going to head to Indianapolis coming up in 25 minutes, and we'll get the buzz from Indy about whether or not this vote passes and, you know, what the sense is from the teams that are represented there. The big issue, of course, now they still have another year to negotiate, so I don't think it's that urgent. But the big issue for a lot of players is they don't think they can afford a work stoppage. And if the work stoppage is extended, well, then their time in the league might be over. Remember, the average career for an NFL player is not even 4 years. It's roughly 3 years, maybe a little more. And so we're not talking about guys like Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, guys whose careers have lasted more than a decade. And for the most part, it's a lot of players who are trying to get whatever they possibly can, make whatever they can possibly make in the course of those 3-4 years. And so $150,000 is a lot to them. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Lots of other football sound coming out of Indianapolis, like Ron Rivera, one of the guys that I did a little bit of stalking when I was in Miami. I don't think I ever shared that picture. I very rarely take photos of people who are not actually talking to us on Radio Row. But when I saw Ron Rivera, I had to. I don't know if I shared. I don't think I did. Let's see. More about Dak Prescott, this time from Mike McCarthy. And a couple of the other high-profile rookie quarterbacks, not named Joe Burrow. Straight ahead, though, Luka Doncic up to his old tricks. Do you know he nearly had a quadruple double? I'll explain. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Here is Kleba, right to left to Doncic, away from the Kleba screen, met by Lyles, got underneath him and scores, moving from left to right. 63-53. To his left, Doncic puts his head down. He hangs, he banks, and he scores. And he's got a chance in an and-one, and that's how the first half began. Mavericks trying to win for just the second time in 18 games in San Antonio. Doncic left, played by Gay, 10 to shoot. Backs up for three. Kill shot for Luka Doncic with a minute 51 remaining.
It was a great win. This is always, you know, as hard a place as there is to come and play. You know, we played exceptionally well during some stretches, and then, you know, we let it get away from us a couple times, two or three times, but we always responded the right way.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Rick Carlisle proud of his Dallas Mavericks for going on the road to San Antonio and pulling out a victory. And he's right, even though the Spurs are not the Spurs of, say, 5 years ago or the heyday with Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, and Kawhi Leonard, who were at the Kobe Bryant Memorial on Monday. I actually saw both Tony Parker and Manu sitting with Greg Popovich. It's not the same Spurs, but it's still a formidable foe because of how well they're coached, how well they're trained. they don't have the same scoring pop. And right now, the West has got some really potent offensive teams, which means it's harder for them to keep up. I mean, DeMar DeRozan is doing his thing on most nights, but they need that second scorer. In fact, they could use a third as well. Off the bench, usually Marco Bellinelli. They just don't generally have enough offense. But for the Mavericks, plenty when Kristaps Porzingis and Luka Doncic are both in the lineup. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Luka with 26 points, 14 assists, 10 rebounds, and 7 turnovers. Nearly a quadruple-double. I've said this before on the air. I kind of feel like if you get double figures in turnovers, it should be a quadruple-double. You worked hard. Let's not be prejudiced toward all of the offensive numbers. Let's make sure we include those turnovers in there as well, because that's a big deal. Those are possessions that were given away. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line here at the network. It's sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. It's easy. I like the toughness of the Mavericks a lot of the time. And sure, when they shoot well, it's a different story. And they need to have their big two. I don't think we can call them the Twin Towers so much, but they need those two guys to be on the court together. Otherwise, they're not even close to being the same team. Speaking of offense and potent and high-powered, when it's right for the Rockets. Problem is, it's not always right. They don't always shoot the way that they did against the Memphis Grizzlies on Wednesday evening. Did you see they put up 140 points? And if you dig deeper into their numbers, it's kind of funny that Harden, James, mentioned defense after the game, because that's not how they won this game. They were 23 of 50 from beyond the arc. So rough, not quite half, but almost half of their triples. And they took more three-pointers than they did shots from inside the arc. I don't like that style. I know it's a lot of what we see in the NBA now, but this is the extreme. So they had a great shooting night. But for James Harden to mention defense, I think it's kind of humorous. Russell Westbrook with 33. Harden had 30. Went 7 of 12 from beyond the arc. Austin Rivers had 23 off the bench. So they were dropping from distance. Sometimes, though, it's the complete opposite, and they're not dropping from the outside. And then it leads to an ugly product that not many people want to watch, including me. I'll just raise my hand. But this is their formula. And they've decided to go even smaller than what they were the last couple of years with their recent trades. But yeah, 23 of 50 from downtown, 56% they shot overall. And then Gordon Hayward, I don't know, would you call this revenge? I kind of felt that was a little awkward to call it a revenge game for Gordon Hayward against the Utah Jazz. Hayward chose to leave, not the other way around. It's not like the Jazz booted him. He chose to leave. Utah wanted him to come back. But what I heard from the Celtics is that they really wanted this game for Hayward. Now, any game these days where Hayward is able to play and be a force on the court like he was before he got hurt, I think is huge. But to say that it matters more against the Jazz, I don't know. That feels a little awkward to me. But still, whether it's Hayward or whether it's revenge, right now there doesn't appear to be any way to slow down Jason Tatum.
Tatum, couple of dribbles into the paint, falling away on Gobert, and he hits the shot.
Ooh, big seven-footer there.
Didn't matter.
He's that dude right now, and he knows he's that dude. Celtics defense has been solid here. Long rebound for Tatum. Into the offensive end. Tatum puts it to the floor, drives past O'Neal, finger roll off the window and in.
Too easy, too good, too quick, too fast. I'm not sure how many adjectives I have.
Everybody must look like they're going in slow motion to Jason Tatum right now. Tatum picked up by Niang on the switch. Keep him away from O'Neal. Dribbling between his legs. Calmly steps to his right, takes another three and drills it.
Anything you can do, I can do better.
Tatum comes to get it out near half court. Right-hand dribble. Ingles picked off, so we'll take the three from the right side and hit it.
Man, it's just like he wasn't even there.
Rumble, young man, rumble. 21 for Jason Tatum. As this, he got on the plane for the West Coast last week, and he's going to come back to Boston a superstar. Tatum to his left. Bogdanovich on him. Tatum steps to the left. Three in the air. Got it!
Ooh, good night, everybody. Drive safely.
Cedric Maxwell along with Sean Grandy on the Celtics Radio Network. Yeah, another 33 points for Jason Tatum along with 11 rebounds. He goes only 3 of 5 from downtown, but he was everywhere all the time. So Hayward ends up with a dozen and a handful of rebounds, couple assists in there. But this was important for the Celtics. And what else really worked for them is that Utah is struggling to score right now. They've gone through stretches where the points are prolific, where the offense is prolific, but this is not one of them. 15 points in the first quarter, and then only 21 in the fourth quarter, and this game was in Salt Lake City. So they really struggled. And they also, while they were trying to generate their own offense, they were unable really to slow down Tatum, though Donovan Mitchell matched Jason Tatum with his 37 points. Yeah, the Celtics doing well on this road trip out west, and the Utah Jazz have got to find that offense somehow. You can find me on Twitter, A Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now coming up, what is the buzz from Indianapolis about this proposed CBA and how the players might vote? We'll ask our insider on scene.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Shotgun time for Mark. Throws the fade for Cortland Sutton. Sutton makes a diving effort, and he hauls it in for a Denver touchdown. Locke's first touchdown pass in his NFL career, 26 yards to Cortland Sutton.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Well, that is just music to my ears on the Denver Broncos radio network. Another taste of football, even as we're in the middle of no man's land here. We've got the season behind us, but we're not quite to the point where we're working on 2020. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. He is from KOA in Denver, covers both the Broncos as well as the NFL at large. But right now, Brandon Cristall joins us from Indianapolis, site of the scouting combine. Well, let's talk about the big news, the CBA, the proposal, the pending vote. Brandon, what have you heard? What's the buzz about the vote for this new CBA?
Well, so what you're hearing is there's basically tiers, right? The Aaron Rodgers, J.J. Watt, Russell Wilson. They don't want the new CBA to be ratified because they don't think it's taking care of the players enough. But those guys are millionaires that, if they were to retire tomorrow, don't have to work. When the lower-level player hears that they're going to get $100,000 added to their salary and they're making $510,000, and now they can make $610,000, and they know they're not Aaron Rodgers or J.J. Watt or Russell Wilson. Not that they don't think they have a place in the league, but they don't think that they're going to be in the league for a decade or 12 years. You've got a split between the haves and the have-nots, if you will, and there's enough guys on the lower side that the sense I get talking to people around the league is that it's going to get past this new CBA because these players on the bottom half, if you will, want to get it done so they don't have a work stoppage and they don't have to worry about where their next check is coming from.
When you think about the rank and file, the number of rank and file versus the superstars, the millionaires, actually some of them could be set for life, as you point out. What's your sense about how they're going to vote?
I think they're going to vote to pass it, and maybe it takes one more round of back and forth, but I don't think this is going to get dragged out into the season. I don't think it's going to get dragged out into the summer even. I think because the executive committee, even though they were split on pushing this to the main team reps, the 32 team reps, and then they were split. I think because it is now basically getting forced through, the rank and file, like you mentioned, will come to terms with it and it will get passed. So if I had to go to Vegas or any of the places you can bet legally and bet that it's going to get done, I think it's going to get done sooner than later. And look, we're football fans. We remember in 2011 when there was the work stoppage and how weird that offseason was. And of course, you never missed any games and it got worked out right in, you know, the 11th hour. We're not going to have to get to that point. And so hopefully they get this worked out. And I'm sorry if Aaron Rodgers is mad, but I think he'll be okay at the end of the day. And then we'll get this done and we'll have 10 years of labor peace.
From the Combine in Indianapolis, Brandon Cristall of KOA in Colorado covers the Broncos, but also general NFL with us after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So what else is there? What else are people buzzing about in Indy?
Well, so the Combine, which is obviously an unofficial NFL convention, and you, obviously you mentioned that I cover the Broncos. The Broncos don't have their assistants here, but every other team does, other than the Rams don't have their two coordinators, but all their assistant coaches are here. And so this is the time for the whole league to come together, but they've switched around the schedule this year. They've added these new drills. They've flip-flopped when the teams have meetings with players, and they've made it for primetime television, and it's going to start Thursday night with the quarterbacks, the wide receivers, and the tight ends on the field in primetime, and I think it starts at 4, which is obviously not truly primetime, but it starts at 4 in the afternoon versus, say, 10 in the morning, and you're sitting in your cubicle and you hear, oh, so-and-so just ran a 4.28. I can't wait to see that on my computer, or I'll watch it tonight when I get home. Well, now it's going to happen in real time. So the buzz around here is just everyone adjusting to this new schedule and seeing, okay, how's it going to work with these players in prime time and the fact that they get to meet with teams earlier in the day. And that to me is the more stressful part. The football part of it, these guys will get. And will they run amazing times or will they perform great on the field? That remains to be seen, but that's the natural part. It's the interviews with the teams that is probably the part that I'd imagine 95% of the players, they're uncomfortable with, but know they have to work at, versus the football part of it, that comes naturally. And then the biggest thing that I think everyone's excited about, certainly not just those of us that cover the Broncos, but those of us that like the combine and like seeing guys run fast, is what's Henry Ruggs III from Alabama going to run? And what's Jalen Reagor going to run? Are they going to go sub 4.22? Are they going to challenge John Ross's time? Are they going to post something that's record-setting? And then what will that mean for their draft stock? So that's certainly what I'm looking forward to, and I think that's the buzz that I get here around Indy is what will these kids run when they get the chance to run tomorrow.
Mm. We know that Tua is not going to be running, and yet it's pretty amazing to me that he might be cleared in a couple of weeks and would hold a pro day in April. What are your impressions of him as well as Joe Burrow, who spoke on Tuesday?
Well, so we'll start with Joe Burrow and we'll work backwards. Joe Burrow, and I talked to Brady Quinn earlier on Wednesday, and Brady, obviously a first-round pick from a high-profile program, an Ohio native drafted by a team nearby where he grew up, and we know it didn't work out. Well, Joe Burrow's in a similar situation. It's not that he's a lifelong Bengals fan, but he grew up in southern Ohio, a couple hours away in Athens, where his dad was a coach, and now he's got a chance to go to a team that needs him but hasn't been a great franchise of late. At the same time, you realize, okay, this kid has put on the best season we've seen maybe in history of college football. Now, something Brady Quinn said was that this is the best single season he's ever seen of any player, not just any quarterback. So with Joe Burrow, you hope that he works through whatever his hesitation is. And for all you want to say about the Bengals, and they're a frugal organization, and they have a really small scouting department, and they cut spending wherever they can and cut corners, they've put some really good players on their roster. You can start with A.J. Green and Geno Atkins and then go down. There's a reason Marvin Lewis went to the playoffs all those years, and Andy Dalton was able to get them to the playoffs, and Carson Palmer, and you go through the list, right? And so can Joe Burrow take them to a different level with Zach Taylor? I guess that remains to be seen. Mm. Then you look at Tua, and he's getting compared to Russell Wilson. You talk about Steve Young. We haven't seen a left-handed quarterback in years. But when you complete 70% of his passes, not only are teams like the Dolphins excited about him at 5, the Lions at 3 have a really tough choice to make because will they decide to draft him and maybe move on from Stafford, or are they open for business, which I think they are, because there's teams that want to frog the Dolphins, or Miami has to jump up to 3 to secure Tua Tagovailoa. But everything you're hearing about is that his medical has come back good and that he's ready to get out and play. Comparing him to Russell Wilson may be unfair to the kid, or the comparisons to Drew Brees even, but both Burrow and Tua have a chance to come in and play. And here's something, Amy, and you and I have talked for years. It's mind-blowing to me that there's 330 people in America, 330 million people in America, and we can't find 32 good quarterbacks. But I think both Tua and Joe Burrow will help that number increase.
I thought it was pretty funny to hear what John Elway had to say about Tom Brady. Not that I don't expect Brady to leave New England, though I guess it is still a possibility. How much talk is there about the veteran quarterbacks that might be available?
Well, so you start with Tom Brady, of course, and it depends on who you ask. And you hear the story that, oh, he's got a chance to go play with his old teammate Mike Vrabel in Tennessee, and they're the leaders in the clubhouse. Or what about the Chargers with the new palace that Stan Kroenke's building for the Rams, the Chargers are going to play in, or, of course, the Raiders. So will he leave or will he stay? That's at the top of the list. Drew Brees coming back, but then will Phillip Rivers come here to Indy and play for the Colts? Where's Cam Newton going to go? And you just go down the list. What about Jameis Winston? Will he go to Chicago and battle with Mitchell Trubisky? Will Ben Roethlisberger have anybody challenging him? And so this is a crazy quarterback class. Where's Marcus Mariota going? Is Ryan Tannehill going to re-sign with the Tennessee Titans? So we've never seen anything like this. And I was obviously there in Denver when Peyton Manning was released by the Colts, ends up in Denver, and you're like, holy crap, for lack of a better phrase, Peyton Manning's coming here. The only other time we ever saw that was Drew Brees, but he's coming off the shoulder injury, and he certainly wasn't where Peyton Manning was in his career when Drew left San Diego and ends up with New Orleans after it didn't work out in Miami because they were nervous about him. So this quarterback class has certainly got everyone buzzing, and you're trying to figure out where are these guys going to go. And so it'll be fun to watch in a couple of weeks when the tampering period opens up March 16th and people can sign March 18th, where all the dominoes fall. And then with Brady, because he's obviously the GOAT, where does he go? How about this, though? And I heard this earlier this week. Tom Brady is going to be 43 when the season starts.
Right.
That's 6 years older than Joe Montana was in his final season in Kansas City.
It is pretty incredible. And even though we didn't have a good season last year, most people point to the receiving core or the lack thereof, as opposed to it being Brady falling off the map. Brandon Kristol with us from Indianapolis here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So other than the quarterbacks, other than the potential vote on a new CBA, what else are you hearing? Maybe something else that's not getting nearly as much attention.
With the Raiders opening up in Las Vegas and the NFL moving to Las Vegas, if you will,
right,
with the draft going to be there, with the draft there starting this spring, and then a Super Bowl down the road, as well as what's going on in L.A. and with the combine potentially moving there, those are the big storylines that maybe people aren't talking about, but they're going to be really big things because I've come to Indianapolis for more years than I can count, and they love having the combine here. But when they build an 85-acre campus next to SoFi Stadium there in Southern California, and they build that palace in Vegas, what will that mean? Is the NFL going to become more of a West Coast-centric league, if you will? Mm-hmm. I think it's inevitable. So while it's not being talked about as openly as, hey, where's Tom Brady going? It's in the back of everyone's mind that, you know what, you better enjoy your time in Indy because it's going to be short-lived.
That's interesting. I'm glad you brought that up. That's kind of a cool idea, something to think about. Okay, you can find Brandon on Twitter at BK Denver Sports. So normally covering the Broncos, but also there in Indianapolis at the Combine, keeping the pulse on the NFL for KOA in Colorado. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes. I really hope you get a little bit of sleep.
I'm going to get at least 20 or 30 minutes. So I appreciate it, Amy. Great talking to you as always.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.